As you're being seated, you find your place. I invite you to take your Bibles this morning. And we will be back in Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2 this morning. And we'll be there momentarily. Again, we find ourselves this morning, Hebrews chapter 2, and I want to talk to you this morning about, once again, this thought, this idea of our great salvation. Now, the fact of the matter is, truly, we could speak on our great salvation every day and never get over it, never grow tired of it, never exhaust it, never talk about it fully. At least we shouldn't. We shouldn't ever get tired of it. We shouldn't ever get over it. And because that is how great our salvation is. And throughout the ages, men have always been fascinated by wonders. We speak, of course, of the wonders of creation, the mountains, the oceans, the stars, the sunrise, the sunset. Friday, I was on my way. I went to Binghamton to pick up the root beer for today, and we had just had a storm come through, a nice heavy rain. And as I was driving there on 86, we just saw the rainbow. Of course, that being the promise of God never to flood the earth again. And we get captivated with the rainbow. I got there to the Cracker Barrel, and there were people there taking photos of that rainbow. No doubt they've seen rainbows before, but for obvious reasons, they were again enamored with this rainbow. We travel to see great monuments, famous landmarks, remarkable words of engineering. In fact, I just learned something new myself this week. The Gateway Arch there in St. Louis. Well, apparently you can go up into that arch, and there's a some type of an elevator pulley system that takes you up, and then it turns, and then it takes you right there where the curve is, and then you can look out into the city of St. Louis. And no doubt that's a remarkable work of engineering. Of course, more recently around our area, here just about a week or so ago, people, they were very excited to see the big boy train come through. People took pictures. They brought their children. They talked about its size, its sound, its smoke, its power, its history. And we understand these things. We get it because there is something impressive about seeing something that big and that powerful moving down the tracks. But even that wonder is temporary. In fact, that night that it came through Sayre here, as soon as it came through, within a matter of seconds, it seemed it started to pour down raining. And you just saw people scatter for their cars. And so that moment was just that. It was a moment. It was fleeting. It was temporary. The smoke fades. The whistle grows quiet. The train passes by. The crowd goes home. There are some things men call great that when you really stop to think about it, they're not really all that great. A man might be able to say, man, that was a great meal. Well, how long does that great meal actually last? They might say, well, that was a great game. If their team won the game, if their team didn't win the game, it could have been the best game ever played. But if their team lost, it was a horrible game. Someone might say, well, that was a great deal. You go to a store and you see, 50% off. That's a great deal. I remember I saw a cartoon over the years, and it was a picture of a husband and wife walking through a department store, and the husband and wife, they come across this display, and it had this sign that said, buy today and save 50%. And excuse me. And then the caption above the wife was, she was excited about this deal of buy today, save 50%. And then the caption above the husband said, if you just keep walking, you'll save 100%. And really no greater deal than that, than to save 100%. And but some people might say, well, that was a great deal. But then we come to the Word of God. And when we see in the Word of God, God calling something great, then we better stop and pay attention and look at it. And when God calls salvation so great salvation, that is heaven telling earth that there is nothing small, there is nothing shallow, there is nothing weak, there is nothing temporary, there is nothing ordinary about what God has provided in His Son. And here's what we need to be reminded of this morning. That is that if salvation ever becomes common to us, it is not because salvation has become small, but it's probably because our hearts have become dull. The wonders of this world may impress the eye for a moment, but they cannot forgive sin. They cannot cleanse a conscience. They cannot open heaven. They cannot reconcile a sinner to God. But salvation can. You're there this morning, Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to look at the first three verses this morning. Hebrews chapter 2. And notice there, if you would, beginning at verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? You notice that phrase there in verse number 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach to us on this thought, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we do thank you for this day. And Lord, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And Lord, for another opportunity that we have to come and gather in your house on a Sunday morning to sing your praises and open your word and see a truth that might help us to be the church and the Christian that have us to be. Lord, now today I pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to say those things which need to be said. Help me to refrain from those things which need not be said. Father, now may the message this morning just be a help, a challenge, an encouragement to these your people. Now, Lord, now we just pray you be with us in a special and real way, as only you can, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Before we get here to chapter 2, we go through chapter number 1. And of course, in Hebrews chapter 1 is exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see in chapter 1 that he is greater than the prophets, greater than the angels, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And then in Hebrews chapter 2 begins and gives us a warning. Verse number 1 tells us we ought to give earnest heed to what we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And the danger is and was not that these people in Hebrews had never heard the truth, right? The danger was that they heard the truth and they were neglecting the truth. And then comes the question. Notice verse number 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We need to understand this morning, there is no escape apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the question becomes then, well, why is salvation so great? Why is salvation so great? And to give you an idea of how great salvation is and can be, I was talking to Mandy, I don't remember if it was yesterday or Friday, but my notes for this morning, they were originally 10 pages. I had 10 pages worth of notes. Then throughout the week, I went through and I pared them down, and I got them down to about 4 pages. But that gives you an idea of how great salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we could be here literally all day talking about the goodness of Christ. But we're going to pare it down to 3 wonders this morning. Number 1, the wonder of its power. The wonder of its power. Salvation is great because here's the wonderful thing about it. It can do something. It can do what nothing else can do. Religion cannot save. Baptism cannot save. Church membership cannot save. Good works cannot save. But Jesus can save. You notice there, verse number 3, the question is, how shall we escape? The word escape tells us that we need deliverance, that we need an escape pod, so to speak, and that we are not merely or simply confused sinners needing advice. We're condemned. We're condemned sinners needing rescue. And listen, salvation does not merely improve a sinner's life. It delivers a sinner from sin's penalty and gives them new life in Christ. Romans 1:16, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth." Think about a rescue rope. And think about a man that's in a pit. And well, that rescue rope is only hopeful and is only helpful if it actually reaches the man in the pit. If it almost reaches him, he's still trapped. If the rope is, once he grabs onto it, if the rope is too weak to pull out the man is still trapped. the man is still lost. But Jesus reaches all the way down and brings the sinner all the way out. He doesn't just bring us some of the way out, part of the way out, and then says, okay, get yourself the rest of the way out. No, when he pulls us out, he pulls us all the way out. And we need to be careful that we don't tell ourselves that we're too far gone, that we don't think that our past is too dark, that our sin is too deep, or that our heart is too hard. No sinner is so low that the arm of God cannot reach them. And no sin is so strong that the blood of Christ cannot cleanse it. Salvation is wonderful because it has power to save. But what good would a powerful rescue be if it were unavailable to us? And we can thank God this morning, this salvation is also sure. And so we see, first of all, the wonder of its power. But then secondly, we see the wonder of its promise. The wonder of its promise. Salvation is not based on our feelings. Some days we wake up and we don't necessarily maybe feel saved or feel like we're a Christian. But our salvation is not based on our feelings. It's not based on our strength. It's not based on our ability to hold on. It rests upon the finished work of Christ and the faithful promise of God. You know, Jesus, when he was on the cross, when he was at Calvary, he did not cry from Calvary as he hung there, "I started it, you finish it." No, that's not what he said. When he was hanging there, he said, "It is finished." The debt was paid. The sacrifice was accepted. The work was done. The believer does not rest in a work that he is trying to finish, but in the work that Christ has already finished himself. John 10:28, the Bible says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." There's no person that can take you from the hands of the Savior this morning. By the way, not even yourself. There's nothing you can do that can take you from the Master's grip. Think about a boat and an anchor. That anchor is not valuable because the sea is calm. An anchor is valuable because the storm is strong and the anchor needs to hold. And the storms of life, they do not prove that salvation is weak. They prove that the believer is held by a God who does not let go. If you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you have a God who never lets go. Last week we were in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And 2 Corinthians 1:10, the Bible says, "Who delivered us and doth deliver, he will yet deliver us." That was a past deliverance, a present deliverance, and a future deliverance. He delivered us, past. He doth deliver, that's present. He will yet deliver. That's a future deliverance. And as Christians this morning, we need to stop living like our salvation is as fragile as our feelings. We need to trust the God who saved us, who keeps us, and will one day bring us safely home. The God who saved us from so great a death is the same God who keeps us by so great salvation. Salvation has power to save. It has a promise that secures. But there's one greater wonder still. And that is, salvation does not merely rescue us from something. It brings us to someone. And that's what we see thirdly and finally this morning. We see the wonder of its power, the wonder of its promise, and then thirdly and finally, we see the wonder of its prize. The wonder of its prize. You know, the greatest part of salvation is not merely missing hell. Salvation is more than just a get out of jail free card. It is not merely receiving forgiveness. It is not merely gaining heaven. The greatest part is receiving the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You know, this world offers us an awful lot, doesn't it? It offers us pleasures. It offers us possessions. It offers us popularity. It offers us religion. But all of those things leave the soul empty. Salvation gives what nothing else can give. Peace with God, forgiveness of sins, and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Salvation is not merely God giving us things. Salvation is God giving us Himself through Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:8, the Bible says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." You know, when I was a young kid, every Friday, it seemed my grandfather would come and he would either give me a new Batman toy or give my dad money and say, "Take that boy to go get him a toy." And sure, I love the toy, I love the item, but the best part was not the gift in the box. The best part was the grandfather who gave it. And listen, as a child, we may enjoy the gifts that our father or our mother or our grandparents that they give to us. But the best part is not that gift. The best part is the father who gave it. And we thank God for heaven. We thank God for forgiveness. We thank God for eternal life. But above all, we thank God for Christ. As Christians this morning, we need to be sure that we do not let salvation become merely a ticket that gets us out of hell. We need to love the Savior who died for us. We need to walk with Him. We need to worship Him. We need to know Him. And listen, heaven is wonderful because of who is there. Because Jesus is there. Salvation is wonderful because Jesus is ours. Now I belong to Him. Now He belongs to me. For all of eternity. And that right here is the wonder of it all. The wonder of its power. It can save. The wonder of its promise. It keeps us. And the wonder of its prize. It gives to us the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it brings us back to our text, Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Many people today are trusting in the wrong thing. And they need to be told and reminded that religion cannot save. A Baptist label cannot save. Church membership and church attendance cannot save. Baptism cannot save. Family heritage cannot save. Listen, a church label may very well identify where you sit on Sunday, but it will not identify where you will spend eternity. Only the blood of Jesus can make you ready for eternity. There is only one way of escape this morning, and His name is Jesus. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.